You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida. And let me tell you something, Jamie. This was the first morning in probably 5 months that we went into the 60s. We were at 65 this morning. It was so lovely.
Well, here's the fun thing is it's been 60 here in Oklahoma, but it's been raining. So at 65 degrees, I would like to let you know that horses in August will shiver. They're shivering.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
It was totally fine 5 minutes ago, and now it's pouring, so they're going to be shivering again because they're outside.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. I just had to vent. I'm looking at my window. It's like buckets dumping right now. It's August 27th, and it's episode 3763. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic. Horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday.
What is a happy Wednesday for me, at least? And I'll get to that in just a second. But on today's show, we're going to learn all about the running of the 99th Genesee Valley Hunt Races in New York. And I have some good news. Jamie has some weird news. And we're going to do an auditor post show for you now that my voice has recovered a little bit. And I have two kitchen gadgets I'm going to review. Plus, Jamie has a farm product she's going to review. So it's review day, product review day on the show. None of these are sponsored. They're just stuff we bought and liked. So we're going to do that in the post show.
We don't get nothing for free, y'all, okay?
We used to occasionally, but since I sold the company, the free stuff's gone away. I have good news, and I know a lot of you are new listeners, and a lot of you have been around forever. So some of you know this, and some will not. But 5 years ago, I had some health adventures that started with cancer, actually during COVID. I went to colonoscopy. They found cancer. I had surgery to take out about a foot and a half of colon. Ironically, I was just talking about this with the one nurse, that I was in the hospital when COVID was at its worst, which meant they had floors that were just COVID patients. And then they had the floors for only mandatory surgeries, and mine was considered mandatory. I was the only one on the floor for the entire 2 days I was in there.
Oh my gosh.
It was empty. It was me. I could walk around. I could do whatever I wanted to.
Well, and back then too, like, you know, every single doctor, everybody was wearing a mask. And I had this situation because I had shoulder surgery like during COVID, because why wouldn't you do that? That guy was still working. And I mean, I met with this particular doctor 10 different times, you know, with them looking at x-rays, but everybody in his staff always had masks on. And when I went back for my next shoulder, this guy comes in and sits down talking to me like we know each other. And I'm like, who the hell are you? I've never seen anybody in that office without a mask on. I was like, who? What are you talking about? He's like, I'm the doctor. I was like, no, you're not. No, no.
Isn't it weird now when we watched a YouTube video the other day that was filmed during COVID, so they were all wearing masks? It's so weird to see it now. It's
yes,
just, and it gives you a little PTSD too.
It's like watching television when they didn't have cell phones. Like we're watching Seinfeld and he's like had to run home to check his messages. And I'm like, it's like, that's like watching somebody with a mask on TV. It's like, oh, they had an answering machine.
Or you see a show that's older and they're using a paper map to try and navigate. And I'm like, oh God, I don't miss that. No. Anyway, my good news is I've been getting CT scans every year of my whole torso, basically from the neck down, looking for cancer. And they found some things that they thought might have been, but I just had mine last week. They called yesterday and could not find any traces of cancer, even in my lungs where they had thought there might be some. That's gone away. So I am cancer-free, and also I am free of the cancer doctor. She said after 5 years, I'm good to just do a blood test every year. So
next time you see her, you're going to be, who the hell are you?
You know, and once you hear those words, you have cancer, everything you get after that, you think is cancer. You know, you get a cough and you think it's in your lungs. You get, you know, it just, it does, it never goes away. But
we will touch on that attitude that you have in just a minute.
We will. So I wanted to let you know, I know a lot of listeners don't know that I went through that, but the ones that did, you know, and I had a lot of, the problem was after my surgeries, I had a lot of complications, and the listeners came through. I mean, they put gift box together for me and sent Charlotte over here with it, and it was just a lovely thing, and I appreciate all of you. We love you all. So that's the good news. You talked Monday about going to the vet and how you always think every horse you bring into the vet's going to die that day and you're not bringing it home.
Yeah.
And we thought, we said we'd do a poll. So this is what I wrote in the poll for the auditors, and I got hundreds of answers. Today's poll from yesterday's show: are any of you like Jamie when you bring a horse to the vet thinking the worst case every time? And this is the three options I gave them. I think the worst every time, I try to go in with a positive attitude, or I'm somewhere in the middle. And you ready for the results?
I am. Okay. I'm actually, I've seen the results, and I would like to, I'm going to expound on it when you're done. Go ahead, present.
Well, 40% of the people apparently are like you, so you're not alone. 40% think the worst every time, and that everything is death and destruction.
So let me point out, like, you go to the vet. If I take something to the vet, like I did take Butters into the vet, there's some, like, his ankle's big, and I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna get in there and they're gonna find out that the joint is trashed, and I'm gonna just put my little baby to sleep, and then how am I gonna tell you guys that I did that? Because, like, now there's double pressure because I have to answer to all of you people listening. So, like, I have this whole thing, like, every time I take a horse to the vet, I think it's, like, gonna die. And I apparently was not alone, Glenn.
No, 40%. I thought actually that would be a little bit higher, but I gave him the third. It was 14% trying to go into the positive attitude, which might say something a little bit on our listener base. I don't know.
That is where I love you people, because only 14% of you people, and I did talk to Patty, my neighbor, about it. She's like, I try to go in with a good attitude. I'm like, your husband's a vet. Like, that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Like, she tries to go with a positive attitude. And what is hilarious is only 14% of people have, like, it's going to be fine. No, you're all, only 14%. I felt vindicated.
Somewhere in the middle is 46%. And I kind of figured that would be the biggest category, because I think sometimes when you're going in, you're going, okay, I know this isn't anything disastrous. So you want to have hope. Everybody wants to have hope. So
you're,
I think,
like,
there's,
it's not going to kill him, but it's going to cost a lot of money.
Yes.
Kind of something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I had to do that when I was going to cancer doctor too. You go in dreading, but you have to have hope. So I think those are the hopeful people. The third category there have hope.
Okay.
You apparently do not. You have no hope at all. You're hopeless.
No, none. I want to come home super surprised and on cloud nine. Okay. But if I go home without the horse, then I knew it. I knew it the whole time. But I would like to point out that not everybody is like this with their animals. So you and I spoke on the phone the other day, which never happens. You called me and I'm like, oh God, why is he calling? Because, like, I had a bad day and you called and I'm like, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I never call
my negative, terrible attitude. Yeah. So you call and you're like, I'm cancer free. And I'm like, that's amazing. This is great. You're like, but I have this cough and I'm pretty sure it's in my lungs now and I'm going to die. And I'm like, oh my God, you're the human version of me taking an animal to vet. You are the patient that goes to the vet.
I admit it. I admit it. You know, and I think it depends on past experience too, right? And a lot of the comments were that way. They said, because I've had such horrible luck in the past. And of course, you know, me and my health stuff the last 5 years. I've had 5 surgeries in 5 years. So I have had health stuff. And I think the more you had, like bringing your animal in, and the more bad experiences you had, the more you're going to be like you.
Remember how we talked about how this show is, like, cathartic and therapeutic the two of us, and that we don't need therapy because of it?
Yes.
I might think we need to probably consult with somebody, like, individually, the two of us.
Probably. We probably needed that about 15 years ago, Jamie.
Yeah, I really think maybe if you book, like, a therapist to come on, anybody know a therapist?
It'd be our most downloaded episode ever.
Who could, like, sit down and really go through these issues?
No. La, 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 la. You're already making me watch that stupid movie for tomorrow, so I don't want to.
Oh, good.
All right, let's do some daily winnies. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to a listener named Kristen. She sent me an email. She said, I love your show and spend my commute time, walking time, and most importantly, stall cleaning time listening to it. I can also vouch truth that when my horses hear the whinny on the show, they feel compelled to whinny as well, which I find hysterical. And she also referred today's guest, who we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. So thank you to Kristen for that. And I think we have to have our whinny contest. We're going to find out. We'll have you play the whinnies in your barn and then record your horses. And whoever has the best will have a prize for. So I think I'm going to get that arranged.
Yeah, and I wonder if, like, you played Chili's birthday whinny. Chili and Duke were best friends. So I wonder if he would respond. Oh, I don't know if I can do that to him.
Yeah, yeah, that might be trauma.
I know, I'm out. It's trauma for me. I listen to it all the time.
I never have played it out loud in the barn for Scooter or Nigel. I'll have to do that and see if they respond. I've never done it.
It would require me to listen to this garbage in my barn.
So what we'll do is on an episode, I'll warn everybody and we'll put it in the show notes, but I'll play it a couple of times. We'll just play the whinnies because I have the whinnies separately. So we'll just play the whinnies a couple of times. That'll give you a chance to set it up. We'll get this done. All right. I'm gonna do it. So anyway, thank you to that listener. No birthdays, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in too.
Oh my gosh, you guys won't let me get away with anything. I swear to God, people on the internet give you their opinion very, very easily, which I actually appreciated.
This time,
y'all's
I think it's going to save
time.
You some money, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sort of. Okay, so what happened was I talked about Chad and Lucas we've been wanting to get Lucas a dog, and they found the silver Labrador retriever. And I mentioned something about a silver Labrador retriever because I started messaging scam people and it was just absolutely crazy. So that being said, I didn't get a lab from the scammer, but then all y'all went online and just started bashing the silver labs, which I actually appreciate. Like, they have eye problems, they have hip problems, they have behavior problems, they're Weimaraners mix, they're not true labs, they're not a kissy. Like all of these terrible things that you get when you breed for color, which is, in the horse world, we know how that goes, breeding for color. So apparently breeding for color in the lab world is also bad. So I was like, okay, well, we're not going to get a lab. Well, yesterday was National Dog Day.
Oh, International Dog Day. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the local animal shelter was having free adoptions. So I said, Lucas, let's go in and take a look around. Now, this dog we picked up a dog and he is just on a 36-hour staycation because we have to make sure they get along with all of our other dogs.
Oh, so you brought the dog home yesterday?
So Lucas found, guess what it is? A black lab.
Oh, okay. So, but a straight up black lab.
A straight up black lab that was a stray. And so we brought him home and Lucas has already named him. He loves him. Like the dog just wants to play all the time. Play, 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 play. And we let the other dogs on. Play, play, play. But he's too big to play as rough with them as
so
he does.
So he's full size already?
He's 1 year old and he just got neutered this week. So he still has a lot of those kind of dominant behaviors. So unfortunately we have 36 hours with him, but I don't think we'll get to know him in 36 hours because he has so much testosterone and he's been in the shelter for weeks. Nobody's adopted him for weeks. So he is like, freedom! I love all of you. Oh my God, throw something, tug of war. Let's go. Can I get in the pond?
Is he house trained?
I don't know. He hasn't been in the house.
Okay.
So he's still outside. He is a lot of dogs. So that would, you know, obviously as a responsible potential new dog owner, I called a lot of dog trainers because what I would like, and I remember doing this as a kid with my border collie, is you meet in like a local parking lot, you know, one night a week and you get dog training lessons like in a group. And so we had this, like, that's what I did with my dog. So I've been looking around at dog trainers and I know I talked about this before, but it was like sending the dog away for like weeks and it is thousands of dollars. Now I know we have dog trainers on and I got to ask questions. Okay. So I called one place and I've now called somebody my veterinarian recommended. So I'm waiting on a phone call back from that. But I called this company local to Oklahoma City and I said, I'm looking for dog training lessons. And what I want is my son to go to these lessons so he can learn how to train the dog, because I think that's a great life skill, learning how to train a dog. So I called him. He's like, yeah, exactly. I don't want to do it. And so I call this trainer, and my husband's in here. He hadn't even heard this yet. So I'm like, we need a trainer. So we call this trainer and I'm like, hey, we're interested in just lessons. And they offer come to your house lessons, and they do them in like increments of four, one a week for four weeks in a row. And I'm like, that's awesome. So I call, and he was like, actually, it's best if you send us the dog for 2 weeks to instill all of these things in the dog. How did you know?
I guess
it's $2,500 for 2 weeks.
Okay. And then the follow-up appointments.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the deal. So I'm like, okay, well, I just want you to come to my house, or I'll come to you. I don't care. Just give me the lesson package. Do you know how much four private lessons with a dog trainer, and not even private, it could be group, they'll come here, whatever. I didn't even get that detailed. Think about how much you spend taking your horse to a clinic with like an Olympian. Mm-hmm. Okay. Four lessons, $1,500.
We're in the wrong damn business.
So that begs the question.
You need to get into training dogs
with them. And I was like, I have, and so this guy, I'm like, listen, I have questions. Can I ask you something? He's like, okay. I was like, I train horses for a living, and they're horses, and I charge what is fairly high in my area, because I have a very unique certification, but I'm charging $1,400 a month for training. Spoiler alert. There it is. And he charges $2,350 for 2 weeks.
With a dog. And that poops a lot less. And eats a lot less.
You put in a crate or wherever your dog run. And I hope I'm not offending dog trainers, but I had questions because I have this unique certification and I charge $1,400 a month, and he's $2,350 for 2 weeks. So I said, hey man, I've got to ask you a question. Like I train horses, it's $1,400 a month, and it's quite a bit. Different. And I said, so what is your unique, like, what certifications do you get as a dog trainer? Do you know what the certifications for a dog trainer is, Glenn?
If I had crickets, I'd be playing them right now. Do I need crickets?
Yeah, because there is none. He said there's no regulatory dog training body, but what he has done is competed in the past. And I was like, I've competed horses.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me charge $2,350. You know what? I guess people pay that, but I can't imagine. I'm like, this dog came from a shelter like 7 hours ago.
Kim competes dogs out in California. Kim, let us know if that rate the going rate nowadays, or is that high or low? Let us know.
One of our listeners, Marissa, the wife of Scott, dear Scott, they train dogs out in, I think, on the East Coast. And I want to know, like, I don't know. It just seems like a lot. Like that.
It's a lot of money to invest in your dog. $1,500
for
that you just paid $100 for at the pound.
It was free, Glenn. It was free adoption day. I can reinvest that $50 that it would have cost me. But like that, it just seems.
You know,
like,
they do it at PetSmart and stuff too. I don't know how good they are at those. You know, it's got to be cheaper.
Yeah. Am I crazy? It's just like, I just want some simple obedience training.
I'm wondering something like a PetSmart would be better. And it's got to be cheaper. I know that when Jennifer worked at PetSmart in the horse department when they had them, she used to watch the dog trainers all the time. But I don't know. I don't know if they're any good either. I don't know. I don't know anything about dog training other than now I know it's expensive, apparently.
Like, I spent $300-something riding with an Olympian for two lessons a couple weeks ago, and that was 4 hours total, and it was $350. This person charges that an hour for teaching you a lesson.
Like, well, you know, I'm going to come around from the business side and say, good for him if he can get it.
I mean, if you can get it, great. But like, I feel like there's people that, like, again, I do different pricing for the rescue because there's people that need help and maybe can't get it. And the rescue can't afford $1,400 a month for a horse, you know, because it's a rescue. So I offer services considerably different to them. And I feel like when you price yourself like that, you're pricing yourself out of being able to help people. Not what you're in it for.
That's a good point. You know, people are in business for different reasons, right? Speaking of the rescue with Nelda and Horse and Hound, coming up the first week of October, Jamie, I'm going to be out on vacation with Ashley, and Jennifer and I are heading out there to New Mexico, and Jamie's going to be in her first week of her her clinic there at her place, the Monty Roberts introductory course, and we're recording episodes ahead for that, and we came up with the idea to do some one-on-ones, and Jamie is going to do Nelda from Horse and Hound as her first one, and I'm so excited about that because we've all donated to, over the years, we've all donated to her. Hundreds of you have gotten horses from Jamie and Horse and Hound. And now to hear her backstory, I'm just excited you're going to do that. So thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, of course. It's a thrill.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, we're going to get to our guest, and then we're going to come back. I have some news stories here I want to chat with you about. Jamie has some weird news we have to get to yet, so we have a lot to do on today's show. But first, we have to mention non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. All of their feeds are minimally processed to retain full integrity of the original ingredients. They start with high-quality whole oats, whole barley, hay pellets, sunflower seeds, and beet pulp. The grains and soybeans are roasted for safety, then mixed with the remaining ingredients and bagged. They add no fillers, no wheat, no corn, no soybean meal, no hulls, no distillers grains. They feed less yet improve the body condition and energy. At Daily Dose,
GMO is hard to find in pet food too.
It is. Any pet food. At Daily Dose Equine, they never forget natural is better and simplicity is key. You can learn more at dailydoseequine.com, and you can find all of their products at Chewy and Tractor Supply as well. All right, we're going to get to our guest, her name is Sarah, and it's Batesing, and she's the race organizer of the Genesee Valley Hunt Races. That's coming up on Saturday, October the 11th. I love local events, and I love when we hear about local events from our listeners. So if you want to tell me about a local event you'd like us to cover, just email me at glenn@horseradionetwork.com, just like Kristen did, to get this one started. So let's meet Sarah and learn a little bit about hunt races. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to talking about the Genesee Valley Hunt Races.
I don't know, in 15 years, 4,000 episodes of doing this show, we've ever talked about hunt races. So I'm glad you're here, and I'm so glad that you were referred to us by one of our listeners, Kristen. She said we had to talk to you. Apparently, she goes every year.
And she said I had to talk to you. Yeah. So
good job, Kristen. Well, this is, let's first talk about the hunt. Genesee Valley Hunt is where? Located where?
We're in Geneseo, New York, which is a college town just south of Rochester in western New York.
Sounds cold and wintry.
It can get that way, but thankfully we're nestled into the Genesee Valley, which protects us a little bit from the weather.
So you don't get the lake effect snows as bad.
We don't get the lake effect snow as bad.
Well, that's good.
So
now this is the 149th year for the hunt.
Yeah.
Is it the oldest in the States? Yeah. It's got to be one of them.
It's definitely one of them. There's maybe one in Virginia, one in Pennsylvania that, you know, everyone gets a little technical on what constitutes, you know, contiguous hunting.
Yeah.
But we're certainly up there.
And records weren't as good back in the 1800s. So.
Right. And, you know, everyone kind of shut down for the world wars and, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's some gaps in everyone's history, I think.
How's membership? You know, we've heard about hunts decreasing in membership. How's yours doing?
Ours is still pretty strong. You know, we're constantly looking for new members that want to come out and join us and support the sport. You know, we're unlike maybe hunts in, like I said, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, we're the only game in town. The next nearest hunt to us is in Cazenovia, which is south of Syracuse, you know, whereas in the more, you know, the state you think more about fox hunting, you know, they have neighboring hunts all around them.
Right.
So, you know, we do have that advantage where there's not really competition for people, but, you know, we we're a friendly group. You wouldn't, I don't think we're what the average horse person thinks of as fox hunters. You know, most of us are farmers. I myself am a dairy farmer. I'm also fourth generation fox hunter on both sides of my family.
Oh, wow.
So been at it for a while. But yeah, you were just, you know, it's a nice group of people that enjoy riding out and watching the hounds work. And,
you know, I think a lot of the hunts have gone to making it less stuffy and more inviting for just even, you know, I know a lot of eventers are hunting now, even trail riders getting into hunting. And I know you guys are encouraging that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got, you know, it's not the wild, crazy galloping full tilt over crazy country like you might imagine. You know, it's a bit more controlled.
You're not in Ireland, right?
Right. We're not stuck in bogs. So, you know, and there is, you know, there's a speed for everyone that wants to, you know, you just want to walk and trot. Got a group for that.
Well, and what's your terrain like up there in New York?
It's hilly, a lot of woodlands, a lot of crop ground. So a lot of dairy farms in this area. So there's a lot of hay fields and corn fields and fairly flat. We have some territory that gets a little hilly, but fairly flat compared to other parts of the country.
Well, that's terrific. All right, let's find out. What is a hunt race? And it's a big event for you guys. I mean, you have all kinds of activities going on. We'll talk about it. It looks like it's something to go to, whether you're into horses or not. And it's definitely an event. So tell us, what is a hunt race? And it's the 99th. So
the Genesee Valley Hunt Races are a fundraiser for the Genesee Valley Hunt, but it's also a way for us to get out in the community and, you know, invite people to come spend a really fun day with us out in the country. The races themselves started as my hunt horse is faster than yours.
Right.
And I'm going to prove it on the second Saturday in October. And it kind of over 100 years has evolved to, we are now a sanctioned steeplechase with the National Steeplechase Association.
Oh, wow.
This is the only place in New York State that you can see live timber racing. So the fences are solid. They do come down if they're hit substantially, but they are solid timber fences. And yeah, so we get horses to come and compete from all over the East Coast. And there's also some fun flat races for Western riders, pony races. So yeah, it's all centered around the horse races.
Are there classes just for hunters? In other words, they're not steeplechasers, they're just hunters. Are they separated out, or are they in with the professional steeplechasers?
No, there are. So the NSA sanctioned races, you do need to be a licensed trainer, a licensed jockey. So those are extremely professional, high class races that you will see, that like the likes of Saratoga.
Right.
And then we also offer races which are our local horses and those types.
And
so it's a good mix of everything.
Did I see some riding side saddle in the races?
We have one side saddle race. We have one Western race, the stock horse sprint.
That's fun.
So there is literally something for everyone.
And from what I saw on your website, you're really into dogs too.
We love dogs. We're very pro dog. Spectators are welcome to bring their well-behaved dogs, and we have a ton of activities for them. We run wiener dog races right on the horse track. We have a Grand Prix jumping competition for the dogs, which is probably the most hotly contested competition of the day. And we also have recently started a dog costume contest, which I am constantly impressed by the effort that people put into that.
I want to go to this thing. It sounds like so much fun. really does. Fairhill used to do something similar to this when they did their event. They would have the dogs there and do all kinds of other activities, you know, to bring people in. Because the dogs are going to bring people in that maybe wouldn't come in for the horses, but then they get to watch the horses and you really are, you know, creating interest in something maybe they wouldn't have done normally, the locals.
It's a great opportunity to see some really high quality horse racing, which you may not have the opportunity to do anywhere else. And then we have so many really unique vendors that come and sell their wares. We have a farmer's market, and then there's so much fun stuff for kids to do.
I love local events like this. I think they're fantastic. We used to go to a lot of them in Pennsylvania, and we love highlighting them too. So where can people find out more about it? It's on, by the way, it's October 11th, so it's coming up. You're in your busy couple of weeks here. I'll put a link in the show notes too. It's gvhraces.com, right?
That's it.
All right. So I'll put a link to that in our show notes. And Sarah, we really appreciate you coming on and telling us about this. It sounds like a lot of fun. I want to go.
Well, you should come, and you can buy tickets right online after September 1st.
I assume they aren't real expensive, because usually they aren't for these things.
Pre-sale general admission are $15.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If you want to participate in our tailgate competition, you will need to buy a tailgate spot. And those range from just under 400 to 150.
And is that tailgate competition, is that the best food? Do I get to come up and be judge?
It's really fantastic. Unfortunately, we've already hired the judge for this year.
Next year.
You're out. So. Sorry, you just have to eat. You have to pay like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to be a chili cook-off judge, and I was invited to do one in Tampa. I might actually get to do it in October. So finally, I get to be a chili cook-off judge. This is fun,
Some
Sarah.
Some people have different lifetime goals than other people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fine.
Sarah, you were great. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And good luck at the hunt.
Well, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you
I'm
there.
Hoping perfect weather for you, all right? I'm hoping 60 degrees in the 60s and sunny. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, I hope so, because this is also typically peak leaf change.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
For us. And it is a beautiful backdrop.
I bet it would in New York day. Where you're located. I bet you it would be.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, yeah. Sarah. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
Well, it seems like the rest of the show we got news to talk about, and Jamie's got some weird news. I have news.
This is good news.
Yeah, I have good news involving tails, and then we're going to start a controversy today. It happens every year. We go over this. Every year we have a fight. Every year the listeners get all upset that they don't win, but I'm going to talk about the best pickup trucks rated by Car and Driver magazine again for 2025. We're going to start the Ford versus Chevy versus GMC versus Dodge debate. All right, first, Budweiser announced at the beginning of the year that they're stopping the docking of tails. Now, all the articles are crediting PETA for putting all the pressure on for them to stop docking tails on the Budweiser Clydesdales. And I hate to agree with PETA
about...
Even
a stopped clock is right twice a day.
I hate to agree with PETA about anything, but I do agree with this one. Now, the reason that they docked tails with draft horses specifically... was when they were used especially for farm work around farm equipment and they were in the harness, the tails would get in the way. So that's when they started docking. And this is 100 years. This is a long time ago. 1800s, they were docking tails. Now, docking tails is not much fun. It's basically amputating the tail, right? That's what it does. And of course, then they can't swish flies and all of that.
And God forbid somebody just put a braid in there.
I had one Percheron with a tail and one without, and I definitely enjoyed the one with the tail better, because the one with the tail could actually swat damn flies. I mean, it was much nicer, even though, you know, the tail, we kept it cut shorter, so maybe a foot off the ground, because you don't want them stepping on it when they're backing up or something in harness. So I think this is a good move. I'm not crediting PETA. I think that Budweiser probably would have done this at some point anyway.
When they swat their tail, it can get over the reins.
Yeah, and that's... That's the other thing. When they swat their tail when you're driving, it can get over the reins. And that's why another reason they did the tails. But you know what? There are a lot of serious competitors in this world that are competing horses with tails. So I think that they can figure this out.
I love that your wife has to come and make corrections. She's
right. Although, again, there are competitors all over the world doing competitions with driving carriages that have tails. So I think that they'll figure it out.
I've long-lined horses, and the long line gets up under their tail, and that's never fun. But I'm not going to cut their tail off because of it. So good news.
Yeah, I'm giving that one a good news, and I'm not crediting PETA, okay? I'm just not going to. All right, Car and Driver magazine does their rankings of pickup trucks and all cars, actually, every year. And this is how they rank these. And I'm going to give you two categories. Full-size pickup trucks, that's like your 1500s. And then the trucks that they categorized as best for towing, which would be more of our category, right? So this is what they've done. They've did 200 data points encompassing acceleration, handling, comfort, cargo space, fuel efficiency, value, and how enjoyable they are to drive. So they put all of those things together to come up with this list. This is not a list by Jamie and I. This is not our opinion. So if your truck is at the bottom of this list, I apologize. Get a new truck. All right. So here we go. I'm going to do the mid-size trucks first. This is the, you know, you're hauling a small two-horse trailer, 1500s, that kind of thing. So I'm going to go from the top five. Number five is the 2025 GMC Sierra 1500. Now, we do have a GMC Sierra, but it's a 2013. And I will say, it is still running pretty well. Now, the reason they give this number five spot is it says it has enough guts to tow up to 13,000 pounds, and it's one of the best 10 selling vehicles in the United States. I didn't realize that GMC Sierra was that popular still. Which one do you have, by the way?
I have Dodge Ram.
Well, you're going to have a happy day today, Jamie.
Hey.
Number four on the list of mid-sized trucks is the 2025 Dodge Ram 1500 RHO. By the way, starting at $72,000.
Yeah, that's why I don't have a 2025, my friend. You have to go way back in the annuals to look up the year for my truck.
Yeah. Ram's dirt terrorizing. This is their off-road truck. And it is got 540 horsepower, twin turbo, inline six. I mean, this is their serious off-road truck. So this is not one that most of us would have. The number three truck on the list is the 2025 Ford F-150 Raptor, kind of their off-road truck. That's number three on the list. This is also one that's really made for off-road, and it's kind of cool looking. Number two on the list of mid-sized trucks is the 2025 Ford F-150. It is number two again. It had been number one for like 15 years in a row.
Okay, these are mid-size. These are the, so they're not like
1500. These are half ton. No, I'll get to those next. But a lot of people do use the 1500s for hauling small trailers. And of course, the Ford F-150 has been a top for years and years and years till the last couple of years, not anymore. Now, they said this Ford F-150, the basic one, starts at $40,000. When we were looking around about 2 years ago, they were not $40,000 to start.
$40,000, they don't have wheels.
Yeah, exactly. And number one on the list, the 2025 Dodge Ram 1500. They gave it a 10 out of 10 rating. They said enhanced tech, fresh styling, and a twin turbo inline six improves the Dodge Ram, and it maintains its dominant position among full-size trucks. It also 17 to 23 mile per hour, too, or mile per gallon, and starting at 44,000. So Dodge Ram comes in as the winner over the Ford. Let the complaining begin to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
Now, what about big trucks?
Okay, the big trucks. All right, these are the ones that are made for towing. And there are a couple in here that surprised me. Okay, number... Okay, let's go to... Number four on the list, the 2025 GMC Sierra HD. This starts at $50,000. It's GMC's heavy hauler, the Sierra HD. This is the one we have. With the diesel engine, is rated up to 22,500 pounds or 36,000 pounds with
a
goofnik.
There's no way that's $50,000.
That starts at 50. That's if with nothing in it. You know, you want an air conditioner, it's probably
no
60.
Engine.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, the GMC Sierra is still in there. As I said, ours is a 2013, so that's what, geez. That's 12 years old, and it's still running great. Number three, 2025 Chevrolet Silverado HD. And I was surprised to see the Chevrolet in here.
I'm sorry. Chevys are sexy. Like, I mean, obviously I'm a Dodge truck person, but you can't fault a Chevy Silverado.
One of the things they give it to for, obviously, is hauling. It does well hauling. It's got diesel. And it also has six full seats in the cab. So, you know, a lot of the trucks got away from the center seat in the front, and this has the center seat in the front. So when you're hauling with a group, like going to a horse show, you know, that makes a difference too, right? So that starts at 50 grand. Number two on the list, the 2025 Ram HD. This is their three-quarter or one-ton, either one. And this one's made for hauling. I mean, this one really is a hauling machine. They had some problems with their engines for a while, but apparently they've corrected the diesel engines now, and they're feeling better about them. So that's why they put this at number two on the list. So you're feeling pretty good about your Dodge right now, aren't you?
Go Dodge, baby. I mean, it's fine. It's now, great.
I will say that the winner in the towing category is the 2025 Ford Super Duty. I got to tell you, when you're riding in these Ford Super Duties, we've been in a couple, the big ones. Oh my God, Jamie, they're like, that's like riding in a palace. I mean,
yeah,
they're so comfortable. They really are comfortable. And they have more bells and whistles now for towing. You don't have to do anything. It's all on the screen now. I mean, backing up to hitch up is a cinch. And I mean, they do have, but you're paying $100,000 for that truck. You know, it's 80
hey,
to 100.
Yeah. Alexa, hook up my gooseneck.
Yes, exactly. I mean, these trucks have so many bells and whistles on them, especially the Fords. I can see why they won, because comfort and everything else, but price, whew, they are expensive.
Yeah, you got to pay to play, baby.
You're talking 80 to 100 for one of those. 80 to 100. My mom and dad paid $20,000 for their first house. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's about a month of dog training now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In smaller trucks, I'm happy to say our Ford Ranger was number one in smaller trucks for tiny trucks. The Ford Ranger one, which we like our little Ford Ranger for hauling hay and stuff too. So there you go. Let the fighting begin. What do you agree? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
I mean, I've been in some Ford trucks that are comfort max, you know, and every Dodge I've had is a work truck. So I've never, I mean, I don't invest in comfy things. I mean,
we always have older trucks too. Neither one of us have 2025s.
So. Well, the reason I have my Dodge truck is because we lived in Arizona and we needed a 3500, and there was a hailstorm in San Antonio, Texas. And so they marked all their trucks as hail damaged. And so Chad flew and bought it and drove home. So, like, I mean, it's a hot mess. And he's okay. Let me just point out that it has been wrecked twice and it has not been fixed. Would you like to know who wrecked it twice?
Not you, I'm assuming.
It was not me. Drove into a fence and then pulled off. He was hooked up the other day to my gooseneck and unhooked it and just drove off. And the tailgate was up.
Oh no. Did he take the tailgate off?
Didn't take it off, but it is crunched, and like that whole backup camera system
is gone.
We've
almost done that too. All of us have almost done that.
Maybe almost, but not all of us have done it. Thank you.
Yeah, I figured you were talking about this. It wasn't you that did it.
This man pilots airplanes.
Ooh,
it's fine.
That's scary too.
It's fine.
Can you please let me know which flights he's doing so I'm not to book that one?
It's fine. It's totally fine. Hey, I have like a story that I feel like you'll like it. It's kind of weird news, but it's not kind of weird news. So I'm just going to give it to you in this news section because I feel like you need to know as much as we've talked about it. The Guinness Book of World Records this year turns 70.
Really?
70 years old. And They have had records from the longest tongue to who has the most Spice Girls stuff to
how many chopsticks you can stick in your nose.
Exactly. How many marshmallows you can hold in your cheeks, you know. So they're they are inviting people to do to try out for records that are unclaimed. And they have a just a quick list of things.
All right, let's see which ones you and I can do.
Okay. I feel like you could qualify for most of these.
Okay.
Number one is the most, well, again, they're inviting you to try. The most whoopee cushion sat on in 1 minute.
Just hopping up and down? On and off?
I don't know. Again, how many, did you lay them out?
I don't know.
Then just jump from chair to chair to chair? The fastest time to blow a stamp 10 meters.
I'm kind of thinking with my lung issue right now this week that I wouldn't do too well at that.
Okay, you're out. Okay. Next one. The furthest distance for a bottle flip. Okay.
I kind of feel you live in Oklahoma, that somebody in Oklahoma have a good shot at that one. They're used to flipping beer bottles.
Lucas loves a good bottle flip. He'll do the water bottle. That's all that kids do now. They just, if they have a bottle in their hand, a water bottle, they're flipping. They're flipping all the time. Every kid.
Why did I automatically think beer bottle, not water bottle?
Well, because a beer bottle will break. Water bottles are plastic. You can flip it and try to get a stand on. And then this one I think you've got. If we plan ahead.
Okay.
And we line a bunch of people up, you might be able to do the most high fives in 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
With you going south and a line of people going north and you high fiving, you could do it.
I got a shot at that one.
Yeah.
I like that one. And also doesn't require any training. I like that one.
No, you can do that. You got it. And then the fastest 400 meter sack race.
Oh, yeah, you and I are not winning that one. There's no way. There's no way.
And here's the one that I looked at because I was like, I don't think anybody's done this ever. And it's true. Nobody's actually done it like as a baseline. Because this is, they are asking people to give them the fastest time to ascend Everest by bicycle.
I don't even think you're allowed to.
Well, I was like, has anybody just ever ascended Everest by bicycle? Or are they trying to whittle the time down?
You see the lines of people waiting to get to the top of Everest now every day. And it's like, I don't know how you do it by bike.
Nobody's ever ridden a bicycle up Everest, Glenn. So basically, if you do it, you will be the fastest time.
Oh, that's true. You know what, though? That still sounds like a lot of effort.
High fives, baby.
Yeah, high fives. That's us. All right, let's take a break. And we're going to come back with more weird news coming up. Only this weird news was sent in by you.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. This is the time of the week where I read the weird news stories that you guys found and emailed to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Some of y'all are still sending it to Jamie and it just may not get placed on the correct week. So if you don't hear your name, you might have sent it to the wrong person. But I would like to thank Taylor, Jenny, Katie, Beth, Debbie, Alicia, Laureen, Stephanie, Susan, Shelley, and Delia, all for sending me weird news stories. But I would like to give an honorable mention to Susan. Susan, it's hard. It's hard to send one to me that is too much for me, but I think you did it this week. I think, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need news stories about cucumbers with bites taken out of them. Okay. Like, that's all I'm going to go with. Okay. So let's go to the first story that I have. And again, if you have a weird news story, if you're looking, you're like, no, that's super weird. Jamie, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. I don't know why you guys keep screwing that up. Okay. So, the El Dorado County Sheriff's Office were dispatched to an ice cream store in South Lake Tahoe on Sunday because they wanted, somebody was reporting a break-in. I mean, I guess the alarms went off and they had a break-in. And so the sheriff's office hauls it over to the ice cream store to see like what's going on. And they walk in and they're like, hello. And I'm going to have to send you this picture because behind the counter where the ice cream is, I mean, think of just a regular ice cream shop with the little like malt shop, like booth seats up against the bar and everything. And the up out of the back pops up and it looks like it's saying, can I help you? But it was a grizzly bear. So
he likes ice cream, that grizzly bear.
Do you know how they got it out? I don't know how this started, but somebody found a tub of strawberry ice cream, and apparently the bear likes the strawberry, and they got the bear to follow them out of the ice cream store and gave it the strawberry ice cream when it went outside, and then it ate it all. It just wandered off into the woods. See ya.
Wow, that's really all I wanted. Ice cream. You know, all of us like ice cream. I get it.
I think that this is going to become a potential problem in the future. Like, we're going to be hearing about this. I'm going to text you this picture right now.
Does your insurance cover that bears breaking into your store and trashing the place?
I mean, it's got it. If you have liability, I guess.
Or is there a bear exclusion? You know, we don't cover bears. I don't know.
I'm sorry. We don't cover wild animals. That's probably the case. How did it get in? I just texted you the picture so you can. Because apparently before they got the animal to go away, deputies did snap a whole lot of photos of it.
I bet they did. I bet they did take a lot of photos. That made their day.
Yeah. Did you get it?
I didn't get it yet. So.
Okay, well, it's on its way. Okay. You let me know when it comes in. All right, next one. I mean, does it get weirder than this? I guess not. I mean,
oh my God,
look
that's
at
a
me.
Big bear.
Behind the counter.
He is behind the counter. He's looking like he's saying, what flavor do you want?
He should have an apron on. That's the only thing he's missing.
Oh my
Fantastic.
God, that is a big bear.
Yeah. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah. So the next story is weird because, but again, it seems like people will spend any amount of money on their pet. Of not me, of course, because I won't spend $1,500 for four lessons for dog training. But these people, however, somebody must be wanting to get in on America's obesity crisis for pets. Apparently, studies suggest, no idea where that came from, but studies say that 60% of dogs and cats nationwide are overweight. And those pounds can lead to serious health issues and vet bills and limited time with your pet. So, thank God, scientists and researchers are working on Ozempic for dogs. I was like, is this from The Onion? Is this a real thing?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's from the New York Post, Glenn, which we, as we know, New York Post is always 100%.
Yeah.
But just know that similar to semaglutide and tirzepatide, the active ingredients, they are trying to figure out how to give it to dogs. And they're saying that like new drug could extend your dog's longevity. They are saying it will be out by the end of the decade. So Fido's going to have to go on the treadmill for a little bit until we get it all sorted out.
We just put up Fido on a bit of a diet, stop feeding it people food and take it for walks.
Wait, that's too easy, Glenn.
By the way, approximately 75% of American adults are considered overweight or obese. So it kind of matches the dog numbers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe they all need to go for a walk. Everybody needs to go for a walk.
Yeah. Everybody go outside now.
Yeah, all right. Next one.
Next. Okay, well, bless her heart. This is actually like a really cool thing. There's a girl named Jenna Ulrich, and she is in Missouri. And she's a part of the Doolittle Rural Fire Protection District. And on her first day of work, she got to fight fires alongside of her dad. So it's like a father-daughter, Jenna and Glenn, father-daughter firefighting team. They're in the same place, and they got a call, and they went on her first call together. And
how
what
proud
was
of Papa
call?
He must be, huh?
It gets better. Because they got a call about a tractor trailer carrying 40,000 pounds. Don't cry, Glenn.
Okay.
Of ribeye steaks.
Oh my God.
That caught fire.
That's $1.5 million of ribeye steaks right on that truck.
40,000 pounds of ribeye steaks caught fire on this interstate. And so they call the fire department, and the fire department comes out.
You mean they actually burned up?
Oh, they say that no injuries were reported, but the stakes, quote, were a total loss.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm crying.
I know you're crying, but here's the cool part is that Jenna and Glenn were fighting the fire alongside, and dad is telling daughter how to take care of this fire. Here's the problem. Jenna, in the great irony of the world, is a vegan. So her first fire, she fights alongside her dad. She's putting out steak.
All the other firemen were trying to grab some for a snack. And
If you're like me, meat don't smell good when it's cooking. It's so gross. So way to go, Jenna.
God, that's a lot of steak burning up. Do you know, looks like the estimate for a filet mignon would be $1,040,000 for 40,000 pounds.
$1 million. So 1 point. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a lot. That truck, that company lost a few bucks.
Yeah.
All right, one more.
Last one. So we're in Boston, and Erica Khan was with her family, and they were outside, and they were stargazing. Actually, no, they weren't. She's from Boston, but they were in Arizona last August, and they were stargazing. And I want you guys to envision yourself standing outside, and I want you to, Glenn, right now, while you're sitting there, I want you to look up.
Okay.
Like straight up, like you're looking at stars.
Okay.
Is your mouth open or closed?
Open.
Yeah. Because that's what happens when you stargaze. Unfortunately for Erica, that was the exact moment as she's looking up stargazing. You can't look up with your mouth closed without it being super weird.
It's hard to do.
Exact moment. Yeah, you can't do it. So it makes sense why this would have happened, sort of, I guess, in this situation. Unfortunately, a bat flew into her open mouth.
Oh, no. I thought somebody pooped. That's worse. Ooh.
A bat. Like, look up.
Oh, that's a nightmare. That's so something pretty.
Yeah, so apparently she said she was not bitten at all. She just had a bat fly into her open mouth.
Did she have to get rabies shots?
So she said she wasn't bitten, but her father, who is a doctor, insisted she receive a rabies shot immediately. Now, the weirdest part was the bat, but turns out she ended up she was traveling, so she went to 4 different hospitals over the course of her 4 rabies shots and didn't have insurance, and now she's stuck with a $22,000 bill.
Whoa, for 4 shots.
Yeah, can I just point out something to those of you playing at home is don't you go and get your dog's rabies shots. It's killed rabies virus, no matter who's getting it. So, because I had to get a rabies shot.
$22,000.
No, I got a rabies shot when I was a teen, in my 20s, when I did like animal rescue for Hurricane Katrina. I did get all my shots. So I go in and get a rabies shot, and they charged me $4,000 for a rabies shot. And I was like, I could have gone to the vet and got it for $15.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So anyway, she's kind of screwed that way, but I just wanted you to envision yourself staring at the stars.
I would
and
never
next
look
time you
up
that,
again in my entire life. I would.
No.
That was. Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Remember those masks we were crapping
yes,
on earlier?
Yes.
You may want to get one of those.
Speaking of weather, 2 things. Katrina, I saw 20 years ago yesterday. 20 years.
Man.
Whew, it seems like yesterday, Katrina, you know? And then also, yesterday, the Habboo pictures out of Arizona where you used to live. Oh, my God. That looks like the most terrifying thing ever when they show you those pictures of the Habboo coming across.
It is crazy. It is. Chad had just landed at the airport.
In Arizona?
And he could see it coming. So, like, and they got out of there before it made its way. Because it moves very slow. And what happens is you can see it from miles and miles and miles away. It's like a million feet
in the air. It's just weird.
It's a wall of dirt, and it just slowly moves across. Now, once it hits you, the wind is violent inside it.
Well, they said there was power outage everywhere.
It blows everything up. People have the palm trees knocked down. It's a mess. So,
what was that like for them when you saw the first one come in when you lived there? That must have been terrifying.
Well, when you're in it, you're like, oh, it's just a dust storm. And then they started being able to track it better. And yeah, it's like, it's a huge wall of dirt that comes. And at that point, you can see it coming. And it's almost like watching a tornado, like being tornado prep. You know, we get all the chickens in, put all the fly mask on all the horses, try to get them in a stall so they didn't gallop through a fence or something, you know. But yeah, it's a thing, like prepping for a dust storm.
I know.
I didn't miss it.
Well, it's only ever in one. We were in Vegas for vacation, and we rented a car and went up to see Area 51. And on the way back, we hit one that hit Vegas. So we saw it coming. We were on the hill coming over the mountain there from Area 51 in the desert down into Vegas. So we saw it coming across Vegas as we were coming down. It was cool to see, but it's also terrifying as hell. And we got into Vegas, and you couldn't see anything.
it's like Hidalgo when the wall of sand comes at him, you know? Go, run!
I imagine if you're driving on the highway, you have to stop because you can't see anything. You just, it's like
all
a blizzard.
Visibility. It's like a sand blizzard.
We always have news about Florida men, and they always involve drugs, alcohol, or nudity. I have a good Florida man to end the show with today.
And I didn't have any Florida man stories today.
No, but I have a good Florida man. He is out of Sarasota. He's called the Tech Fairy. His name is Craig Clark. He is a retired computer technician. He takes donated laptops, refurbishes them with new components like solid-state drives and batteries, increases their performance and all that stuff, and then he gifts them to individuals in Sarasota, Florida, who are in need. He started doing this 8 years ago just on his own, and he has given away 700 computers to people in need in the Sarasota area. And get this, we talk about the Nextdoor app being this, you know, filthy cesspool of humanity.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's one good thing that you can use the Nextdoor app. That's how he finds his people who are in need. He uses the Nextdoor app. So there's something good out of Nextdoor right there. Something good out of a Florida man and something good out of Nextdoor.
I'm playing a lotto today. I'm buying a ticket.
But he determines who he thinks needs it the most, and then he gets these laptops donated to him, and he fixes them up with his own money and gives them away. And he's just made an appearance apparently on ABC's Good Morning America, and he's talking to other retired. He's recommending the other retired computer technicians do something good like this for humanity as well. So good for him. Good for Craig down there in Sarasota. Which, by the way, if we move somewhere else in Florida, move to Sarasota. It's the prettiest place. It really is. It really is. All right, let's close out. Then we're going to come back with the auditors with some product reviews.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.